You're listening to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, founder of AI Ireland. In today's podcast, we're speaking about how machine learning and cybersecurity is helping to reduce fraudulent activity within the financial industry. I'm delighted to welcome Jimmy Hennessy, VP of Data Science at ACI Worldwide, and Des Ryan, Director of Solutions and Director of Cybersecurity at Microsoft. Des and Jimmy, very welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So Jimmy, congratulations. Just over a week since you collected the award for best application of AI for a large enterprise.
Absolutely. Delighted to have received the award on behalf of the team. Team are absolutely delighted. A lot of work and effort went into it, but it's great to get that recognition. Yeah, absolutely delighted. Over the moon.
So we're going to delve a little bit into the work that you're doing, but tell us a little about your journey to now and your most recent role at ACI.
My most recent role is obviously focused on data science and engineering, particularly on the engineering side in merchant fraud, but data science more across all aspects of data science across the business. And maybe just to give you some background on that, ACI Worldwide is a software company in the fintech space. It has its headquarters in Miami and its European headquarters in Limerick here in Ireland. Approximately 120 people in Ireland focusing on all the payment sector, but one of those particularly being fraud, which is one of the main areas we're working in. My own background, a bit of a journey, definitely a path into data science. My own background is actually started off in electronic engineering and then into computer science, and that kind of brought me into data science, particularly in the healthcare industry, and then more recently into the financial services.
So Jimmy, you're doing quite a bit of research with your team, and you know, research return on investment is a delicate dance. You know, it tell us a little bit about the importance of agile and working to generate new ideas, but also failing fast.
Absolutely. There is a pitfall that every company, I suppose, and every team needs to avoid, and that is innovation and R&D without a purpose. So I think what we're doing is we are dedicating a significant amount of time into R&D, but usually around a niche problem to solve. So coming up in an innovative way to solve a problem. And what that then is, it reduces your technical debt or maybe some of the redundancy that you sometimes see in R&D. But if we do come across a path or a challenge that we cannot fix, or we're gone down that wrong path, it's absolutely okay to stop and try a different path, and you do that as quickly as possible. It's also key to have really good stakeholders involved, not just the technical teams. It's very good to have business stakeholders to keep kind of that mindset of customer client and not just focused on the technology, because whatever you're taking at a technology level needs to be translated to client, needs to be translated to a product. So we found a healthy mix of that, and it's proving well, you know, obviously with the award win around incremental learning, but also even more recently another initiatives that we've taken, you know, beyond incremental learning that we're working on this year. So it's about a healthy mix. You're absolutely right. Fail fast, fail quick, but have a purpose, you know, and have a gatekeeper from the business side to keep, you know, the technological mind on the business mindset as well.
So we look a little bit of obviously the kind of context that we're in now. There's been a mass change to online purchases to detect fraud. Merchants and banks are relying on software products that apply supervised and are unsupervised learning algorithms that are under the hood. ACI goes one step further. So tell us a little bit more about the team's patent.
Yes, there was biggest challenge, particularly over the last 18 months and 2 years, is the quality of historical batch data. Usually in a machine learning process, when we train a model, it's based on historically labeled data from a supervised perspective. The issues that we're seeing is that is so changing and so dynamic that the longevity of any one model is short-lived. Degradation is seen quite quickly because the changes. So we felt there was a gap there, even before obviously the events and the COVID era that we're in, that we needed a way for our model to pragmatically augment itself to the ever-changing world that's happening around it. So we move away from testing historical data, and we move to an area of machine learning called online machine learning, which is using a technology such as online classifiers. And the major difference here is instead of looking at historical data, you make an informed decision as you see it to give you more observations about what's going to happen in the future. So it's just a new way of thinking. And what does that do first? Well, the key part of the patent is we're using that technology to morph our model. Our decision tree can break down and rebuild itself to the behavioral patterns that are seen around it. Net result is that degradation significantly reduces over time. So your models are far more robust, last longer, and prevent fraud longer. And the other side of it, which was a side effect, but a good one at that, is that within 3 months of implementing incremental learning, the model performance actually increased itself. So it's a bit of a deviation from standard machine learning practices, particularly in fraud, but we felt it was necessary and continues to be necessary, particularly during COVID. But yeah, it's a never changing world out there. The fraudsters are, you know, experts in their field, you know, and we have to be experts to keep up with them. So I think using machine learning in a clever way or just out of the box thinking helps us, you know, significantly prevent fraud over time.
And just to follow up on that, what were some of the challenges to applying incremental learning? Why is fraud detection such a challenging area to solve?
It's become extremely sophisticated. Fraud has morphed away from small groups of criminal activity that may be kind of chancing their arm, to say in a way, to very sophisticated, well-organized groups of people that are very coordinated, highly intelligent, well-educated. It's, you know, it's absolutely enough of evidence out there that they themselves are using machine learning. And even more recently, you can mask fraud with fraud. So if you look at some of the fraud ring activity we've seen over the last 12 months, the fraud ring is actually the part that you see. What's behind it is actually quite sophisticated, such as smaller fraud rings feeding larger fraud rings, knowing that the larger fraud rings are going to get caught by the many, you know, offerings out there for fraud prevention. But that larger activity that's committing the fraud, that's getting blocked, is actually hiding the clever work behind the scenes, which is testing new cards, testing new clients, you know, IDs, testing new distribution routes. It's all happening behind the mask of the larger, you know, fraudulent activity that they know that will get caught. So it's become a very sophisticated game that the traditional classifying of fraud or not fraud or, you know, a challenge somewhere in between is becoming a lot harder task to define well.
And when you look at the work that you're doing, and then you're able to complement this on the cloud, tell us a little bit how you're able to utilize Azure.
The quickest way we feel that we can spin up a new ideas at Azure as a platform has given us that cloud-based solutions, you can POC quite quickly. You can spin up an environment quite quickly, scale quite quickly. So it has allowed us to expand far quicker and at a lesser cost than we would have anticipated, you know, than traditional more on-premise approaches. We're able to morph technologies as well into one another. We're definitely not a team that thinks about things in one way or highly sensitive to any one technology stack. We do advocate for full stack data science. It's quite important to us as a team that data science itself as a definition is not just the people doing the modeling. It is the data engineering, but it's also the security side of it, the governance side of it, the ML ops, how we deploy, how we continuously evolve, as well as that modeling piece. Being able to spin up something quite quickly in a cloud-based environment has definitely helped us, you know, experiment in that way. And again, coming back to the innovation side, fail fast, fail quick, improve and get to market quicker.
So it's allowing you to spin up very quickly, evolve, and then to experiment, which is very, very helpful. And you're doing that in a very, very short period of time. Des Ryan, Director of Solutions, Director of Cybersecurity at Microsoft, thank you very much for joining us today. we had Jimmy talking about sophistication and you're moving away from people kind of quote unquote chancing their arm and how well organized groups, from looking at the Microsoft Digital Defense Report and some of the state of the cybercrime, would you mind giving us a little bit of an overview about, you know, what's happening out there, how involved it is getting, how sophisticated it is happening?
Sure. Look, thank you for the invite to be here, and really interesting to hear what Jimmy's and the ACI team are doing. I'm afraid to say that cybercrime is a real issue. It seems like a day doesn't go by or a week doesn't go by and we don't have reports of a new attack or a new report highlighting the risk. Unfortunately, these attacks are becoming more prevalent and more devastating when they happen. The Digital Defense Report, which is available on the Microsoft website, is an annual report that we put out that kind of shows and gives insights into what we're seeing from a cybercrime perspective. Phishing attacks have doubled in the last 12 months. And you can even see within that, you can see spikes within that for the time of year. So we're in a particularly busy, if that's the right word, time at the moment. You got to remember that cyber criminals are opportunists, and things like Black Friday and the festive shopping that goes on, these are opportunities that these cyber criminals use to run their attacks, and so we do see a bit of a spike at this time of year. So in terms of the where the attacks are which industries are being hit, it's a pretty mixed bag, to be honest with you. I think consumer and retail account for around about 13% of attacks, FSI about 12% of the attacks. Manufacturing would also be about 12% of the attacks. So, it's quite broadly spread. You can kind of divide these attacks into two kinds of attack. You've got nation state actors who are trying to get at data and intelligence. And then you've got pure cyber criminals who are trying to get at money. So you can see a delineation between those two.
Yeah, one of the things that I kind of found interesting was, from reading the report, was how certain industries were actually very much specifically targeted, and also how there was quite a few different types of ways that they actually went about the email techniques, for example, where I would think about phishing, for example, but I think there was 12, if not 15, different types of email techniques. There was a very high predominance in certain sectors, and I was quite interested to know why you think those sectors were targeted in particular, and then is there more email techniques that are becoming more prominent than others?
If you look at the Digital Defense Report, about 58% of the attacks in the last 12 months have been perpetrated by nation state actors. And those nation states, they're the kind of the rogue nations, so to speak. They are trying to gather intelligence. So, for example, you've got the Chromium Group working out of China, and they're primarily interested in gathering intelligence about China's neighbors. So you can see Chromium attacking in India, Malaysia, Mongolia, the countries neighboring China. You've got another Chinese actor group called Nickel, and they're targeting foreign agencies. So you see a lot of attacks from them across Europe and South America. And what they're trying to do is gather intelligence that the Chinese government can use in negotiations, or to increase their influence in a particular region. So that's a huge amount of the cyber attacks that are happening. The other attacks that are happening then obviously are, as I said, they're just general cyber criminals. And these guys are attacking wherever the money is. And they are using, as I said, they're opportunists. They'll use whatever cover they can to launch these attacks. you know, when COVID first hit, there was a huge amount of, you know, number of COVID domains that sprung up as they were using COVID as a vehicle through which they'll socially engineer their way into a phishing attack. And as I said, you know, Christmas shopping is an example of what will be happening at the moment. They will go wherever the money is. And so you'll see a lot of the high profile attacks like the ones I've just talked about at IKEA, Panasonic, etc. They're being attacked because of, you know, the money that the attackers can get from ransomware. They will tune their attack based on whatever information they can gather, right? So you'll see that there are some, and this is where the machine learning might come in. So, you know, if a cyber gang want to impersonate a CEO and use an email from a CEO or a purported email from a CEO as the lure to get somebody to click on a link, what they will do is they will analyze, you know, communications from that CEO, whether it's speeches that they've made or reports that they might have written. They will analyze that so they will be a bit more able to impersonate and use the right verbiage, the right language that CEO would use, which makes it far more credible to the potential person that's going to click on the link. And you see that a lot in business compromise, where invoices get redirected and paid, as an example. And I'd say that's where the machine learning comes into play.
Yeah, I was quite interested that somebody told me today that some high-profile CEO of an aviation company in Ireland, they don't have an email purely for that reason. They'll never get an email from that CEO because of that specific area, which I thought was fascinating. And do you know that
I've heard that as well. I'm not certain if it's true or not, but I certainly have heard that, and it is an interesting twist.
Yeah, I was just wondering, it was like, how do they get their communication across all the time? Maybe just an awful lot of MS chats or something like that. So when I was thinking about, you know, the sophistication and the response, an awful lot is done through machine learning. And you could have machine learning versus machine learning bad actors kind of playing out. And where do you see the future of online sales going? And what should we kind of see coming down the road?
Well, I think you know, just like Jimmy and his team are using machine learning and you know, advanced infrastructure to fight fraud, unfortunately, we're seeing the bad actors do exactly the same thing to continue to evolve their attack techniques. It's a real cat and mouse. I don't know if we'll ever be in a world that's free of cybercrime. I think all we've got to do is continue to, you know, deploy techniques where we can, even simple things. You know, one of the interesting things in the cyber defense report was the number of our customers that aren't using things like multi-factor authentication. 20% of customers are using strong authentication, according to the report. You know, there are simple things that people can be doing to help defend, even things like education. You know, the fact that we're having this conversation kind of reminds people that this is an issue. And if it gets one person to look more closely at a link before they click on it, it's a worthwhile conversation. So I think we need to continue to evolve our defenses. We need to continue to educate people on what to look out for. But unfortunately, I'm not certain we'll ever get to the point where we're free of this.
Jimmy, just a final question for yourself and Des, thank you for that. We've talked about the importance of evolution. Where do you see the future of online sales going and the challenges we have ahead?
The one thing that we have seen is that there's a completely broader demographic of people using particularly online sales and using online websites. And that purely has, I suppose, been expedited by the fact of lockdowns and a lack of availability to be in person. So I think we've all heard the story of some person's parents are now online and they will never stop using online. So we're shifting the demographic of and the cohort of people using, you know, digital means of purchasing. So that's going to change as well, I suppose, the mechanisms, or it's actually going to broaden the spectrum of mechanisms that fraudsters can take. So I do think going forward, we are going to see new fraudulent patterns, maybe deviating from some of the traditional methods that we've seen. I would probably think that account takeover may increase than what we would have traditionally seen as well. And I think, yeah, it's going to take some time. I think we're going to be in this intermediary period where mistakes are going to be made, you know, links are going to be clicked on in emails. There's going to be phishing emails that are going to expedite people in a larger scale going forward until we get to a time where it kind of stabilizes. So I think that probably the next year to 2 years are going to see a larger activity, I do believe, in fraudsters. And as Des was saying, they are getting cleverer all the time. The other thing we've seen as well is the ticket price, the average ticket price of fraud has increased as well. So people are buying larger purchases online. So rather than you spend your 10, 15, 20 euro online, people are spending hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands at times, on purchases online as well. It's only a matter of time before that's going to be taken advantage of as well. So I think we need to be more diligent. And I think from the machine learning perspective, we need to maybe tweak our thinking a bit and be more proactive in the prevention, which is a difficult challenge, rather than the more of the predictive classifier. Okay, we've seen it, we're going to stop it. I think we need to come back and say, how do we prevent it happening in the first place? So it's going to be a challenging time for data scientists, and it's going to be, but in saying that, I do think there's so much innovation out there. So many companies are putting time and effort into it that, you know, online sales and online purchasing is predominantly going to be as safe as it always has been.
You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast. In today's podcast, we've been speaking about how machine learning and cybersecurity is helping to reduce fraudulent activity within the financial industry. Our guest today has been Director of Red Shield and Data Science, Jimmy Hennessy at ACI Worldwide, and Des Ryan, Director of Solutions and Director of Cybersecurity at Microsoft. Des and Jimmy, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Peace out.